So I'm going to dedicate tonight's shiur Lilo Nishmas Moshe Ben Yosef, my grandfather, whose yahrzeit is Shvi Shel Pesach. His neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, so I want to share with you tonight two different things. Some people might have seen snippets of Rabbi Penner. Rabbi Penner's 30-minute shiur that he gave on Koshel Eliyahu and Eliyahu Anavi. It's been picked up by enough different places, inspiring minute, meaningful minute, all of those little ones. They've taken like the end of it. But it was a very powerful shiur, so I want to share a little bit of that. If you heard some of it already, I apologize that it's a repeat. And also I want to share with you an idea that was in Jewish Observer magazine back, I don't know when it was, not that long ago, by Ari Zivitovsky. So the Seder is one of those things that's got a rich history. Some of the things in the Seder are, I would say, we would say like they go back a really long time. You look at the Gemara and Pesachim and you'll see those things, and those customs going all the way back. And yet there are some things in the Seder that are, I guess, relatively new to this scene. So tonight, we're going to take a look at the custom to open up the door for Eliyahu and the Koshel Eliyahu. And we'll see some fascinating things about it. It's, there is a little bit of a halachic piece to this, which is not necessarily our usual style. But I think that when it's all over, we'll be able to pull it back to, something similar to how we normally learn. So, Sefer Mikrai Kodesh. I'm going to pull it off my quasi-bookshelf. So, it's a great book. Anybody have this? It's a 4-volume set on like the Moadim. It's Pesach and Purim, and I don't know what the other two are. When I was in Mivaseret, they used to like put these in the hallway right before all the Chagim, and it was like the really thin ones were like 5 shekel, and these were like 10 or 20. So I don't know, the Kollel guy told me you had to buy it. It's got everything in there. So when I was trying to research this a little bit last Shabbos, I was like, it's got to be in Mikrai Kodesh. So this is what he says in Mikrai Kodesh. The following, okay? We're going to go down the page on the right side. He says like this, Nosaf l'kos revi'it, nohagim ha'ashkenazim, in addition to the 4 cups, the Ashkenazim have a minhag, v'chelik me'asfardim, and Sfardim also some have the minhag, limzog, od kos anikre koso shel Eliyahu anavi. There is a minhag to bring an additional cup, the kos shel Eliyahu. L'rameis shemaminim anu, shekashem shenigalanu Hashem Mitzrayim, kach yigalanu shuv, v'yishlachlam nes Eliyahu anavi, levasreinu al kach. That we say that we have confidence that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us once upon a time from Mitzrayim, so too he'll be able to do that again, and Eliyahu will come to bring to us that good news. Fine. And then he continues, Lifnei Tchilas HaHalel, before we say Halel, Nohagim Lomar Psukei Shvoch HaMaschal HaGoyim V'chulei. Right, we have a minhag to say the psukim that God should pour out his wrath on the non-Jews. Ki achalas Yaakov, musifim shvochalim zamecha, minang Ashkenazim lomar zot. The Ashkenazim had the minhag to say all of this, Sfardim, I believe, I don't know, anybody want to confirm this, say some of it, but not all of the psukim. Okay, so that is the halacha that he quotes. Now, interestingly, if you take a look at the second to last source on the bottom of page 1, so let's take a look at what the Ramah says. Hagah, now remember that Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, Krakow, Poland, was not that long ago. He's a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, but he came about, significantly after the Shulchan Aruch was written. So he says, Hagav v'yesh omrim sheyesh lomar shvoch hamascha kodem lo lanu. So there are those that say we should say the psukim shvoch hamascha before lo lanu. V'leftoach ha-pesach, open the door, kedei lizkor shehu leil shimurim. To remind everyone that it is Leil Shimurim, it's the night of protection. Ubeschus emuna zo yavo Mashiach, and in the faith that we believe this, Mashiach will come. Vishpo chamaso ala akum, and God will pour out His wrath on the non-Jews. v'chein noagim, and that is our minhag, as we do, v'yachol l'gmur halel af shel makom suda. You could finish halel, you don't have to do halel at the table. If you want to move to the couch, you want to move somewhere else, it's okay. The meal is over, and you could go wherever you want. Okay. So interestingly, the Ramah is one of the first real sources to talk about opening up the door and to hint at the connection of opening the door and Mashiach, which would seem to be an Eliyahu HaNavi connection. Okay, so the question is, what's the deal with this? So the earliest that they can document this minhag is only about 400 or 500 years, which means that it's relatively recent. So Dr. Zivitovsky, actually, his brother, is the one that sells real estate here in West Hempstead. But Dr. Zivitovsky has an amazing analysis. And he says that actually it's possible that the reason why they started this was they were concerned with the blood libels. And they were nervous what was buried or put in their backyard. So what did they do? At a certain point in the Seder, they opened up their door, took a look here, took a look there, wanted to see what was going on, and they were hopefully able to confirm that there was not, they weren't going to find a dead Christian baby in their backyard in the morning. It would also explain a lot the psukim, shvoch hamascha l'goyim, that God should pour out his wrath on the non-Jews. Meaning, if we look at it and say this is simply a strong hope that God should bring Mashiach, then why do we need that? So it's food for thought. So let's take a look at the footnotes. The footnotes in Mikra'i Kodesh are actually the best part of the Sefer. So this is what he says in the first footnote. Second line, Hagon Rav Nevensal Shlita Amar li sheyesh ma'ashkenazim hanoagim lemzoga koso shel Eliyahu kvar b'tchilat ha-seder. Rav Nevensal says that there are some Ashkenazim that have the minhag to pour the kos shel Eliyahu at the beginning of the Seder. V'anoagim kach manichim kozo al ha-shulchan kvar mizman ha-kiddush. And those people keep the cup out on their tables from kiddush time already. There is a lot of reasons why we do this. And one of them is mishum kos chamishis. There is imlav. There's a machlokus in the Gemara, which we'll see in a second, whether or not we need 4 cups or 5 cups. And Eliyahu Navi kvar yachria bedavar. Eliyahu is going to come, and what is he going to do? He's going to tell us: is it 4 cups? Is it 5 cups? Right? We know that teku, which is, you know, the halachic question of what you do when you don't know an answer, is tishbi yitaretz kushios ubayos, or tishbi yavo. He's going to come and he's going to explain and give the answers to all these questions. So the Gemara to the left in Psachim says, arba kosei tiknu rabbanan derecheres. We have 4 cups. Each one is its own mitzvah. And Revi Gomer Lavas Halel v'Omer Berchas Ashir. Halel is the one that we make on the 4th cup. Now, what's the 5th cup? So if you take a look at the source right underneath it on the left, Shmos Vav Veveiti Etchem. Votzeiti Vitzalti Galti Vilakachti. 4. But Veveiti is number 5. So the Gemara has this machlokus. Is it 4 or is it 5? Most of us do say that it's 4. There are those, I think Chabad does 5. Some Hasidim do 5. This is like a great one. There was a typo of some sort in some Haggadah that quoted the Maharal, saying the Maharal felt that there should be 5 kosos, which is not the case. The Maharal felt somewhere else. It was clear that he felt only 4 cups. So a bunch of Hasidim said, oh, you see, the Maharal says 5 kosos, and they do 5 kosos to this day. But most of us probably only do 4 cups. So why do we open up the door with this 5th cup to say Eliyahu is going to come in and he's going to tell us, is it 4 cups or is it 5 cups? I don't know. Does that really work for you? Well, it's to be yotze, if we don't drink the 5th cup, but if we need a 5th cup, so this is how we would be yotze the 5th cup, by having this fifth cup, the Eliyahu piece of it is that Eliyahu is going to come, and he's going to one day, like all the kashas that are out there, Eliyahu is going to reconcile when he finally does come. Honestly, if Eliyahu comes through my door on Pesach night, the farthest thing from my mind will be 4 cups, 5 cups. I have, you know, much bigger things to ask him. But okay, you know, all these kashas. Fine. Yeah, somebody had that posted, right? That's why we opened the door for him. So this way he doesn't have to touch our doorknob and all of our germs. I don't know. Please God, he should come. I don't think we'll have to worry about social distancing anymore. Okay, so that's fine. So take a look at the third yellowish source from Mikrei Kodesh. So he says, "Vagon Rav Nevin Sol Shlita Amar Li Tam Leptichas Hadeles." So he says that Rav Nevin Sol gave a reason for the opening the door. He's going to give 3 answers. Vehu Lirmo Shanu Mechakim Shel Yao Navi Ikanes. It's that we're hoping that Eliyahu is going to come. Now that's what the kids say, right? Eliyahu is going to come, we're waiting for him, and that's all good. So then he says another answer. He says, oh, my computer is doing something weird. That's not good. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, who is the Rosh Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva of Ponovich, who shem mishum shagamara, they used to eat the korban pesach in the house. You couldn't take the meat of the pesach out of the bayit. They locked the door. Why did they lock the door? To say you couldn't leave, because they were nervous that what would happen. I mean, come on, you have a whole family together, and you're told a whole chabura, right? Korban pesach isn't necessarily even family. It's, you know, you needed 30 people to chip away at this lamb. And, you know, these are the people you got stuck with, right? Because you did bad shopping for your Korban Pesach Chabura. And there's somebody annoying. So you take your plate and you want to walk out because I'm not sitting with him, right? So what happens? We're told that, no, the Korban Pesach couldn't be eaten like that. So they were no'alim hadelet. They would lock the door. They would go up to the roof afterwards to say halel. Mipatachom, because it was hot, I think. So v'lachem potchum adel achar berkas hamazon. So we do this after berkas hamazon, we open up the door, which would say that the symbolism then of the korban of the opening the door is to remind us that what we don't have the korban pesach. So that's an interesting thing. I've never heard that before. Hey, and okay, so that's the second answer. So now. Say that again? You mean what's his... what am I quoting from Ari? So some of this stuff I've, like, back and forth. Like the Maharal and the questions about whether the you know, the it's tied into the blood libels. That's all Ari Zivotofsky. I could send you the article if you want. Baking matzah in the backyard. I mean, just by the little I know about Ari Zivotofsky, that would not shock me even a little bit. Okay, fine. So the third answer that we have is Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Shaminag Makomo Sheino Alim Hachadarim Shishenim Shambaleel Zeh. There is a minhag the night of Pesach that we do not lock the doors on our bedrooms. Why? Kibenisan Nigalu Ovenisan Atidin Ligael. We were redeemed in Nisan, and we're going to, in the future, be redeemed on in Nisan. Dechtev leil shimurim hu Lashem, laila hamishumar uba misheshes mebreishes. This night is a night that was set and destined from the time of the creation of the world. Ve'im yavo Eliyahu yimatzeh petach patuach v'neitzeh l'kratot meira. So he says, imagine Eliyahu comes, and my door to my bedroom is locked. It's going to take me an extra, I don't know, couple of milliseconds to unlock my door. So he says that would not be okay. We want it to be as quickly as possible. So we want to show him. Yavo Eliyahu yimatzei petach patuach v'neitzei l'kratov b'mei rav v'schar emunah zo anu yicholim l'geula. Anachnu zochim l'geula. It's in that schus that hopefully the geula will come. So we say that we're hopeful that opening the door will be just symbolic of the fact that we are, you know, we believe and we're hopeful that Mashiach is going to come. Okay. Fine. So one last halachic source on the idea, actually two more halachic sources on Koshel Eliyahu before we try to understand Eliyahu a little bit better. So the Chavos Yair, he's a Meforish in the back of the Gemara, I believe, says, Pesach is all about what? Take a look, top left corner of the page. Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, the Achalu Avatana Be'arad Mitzrayim. It's the bread that we ate in Egypt. It's sad because, you know, Kol Dechven Yesev Yechol is usually, like, literal. Like, anybody that needs, come to our Seder. And there is, like, a, I don't know, the Sfarim HaKadoshim. Can't think of a better way of putting it. So they say, what does it mean, kol dichven yesev yechol? Anybody that needs spiritual sustenance, tonight's the night to get it all. So normally, like we say, okay, like that's not really pshat, whatever, but this year, that's what we're going to have to hang our hat on, because there is no kol dichven yesev yechol. We're not bringing any guests to our Seder. But he says, it's a night of guests, but who's the ultimate guest? The ultimate guest is Eliyahu Navi. So we say, we invite Eliyahu, we open up the door of Eliyahu at the end to say, if the framework of the entire Seder is Kol Dichven Yesev Yechol, comes the end, we say, it should be that Eliyahu is going to walk through our door. Okay. One last source, the Shtei Alechem on the bottom. So this is great. Just out of curiosity, right? When you get up to Koshel Eliyahu, right? What do you give Eliyahu? To drink. I know it's wine, but what? Well, grape juice, okay? It's grape juice. He's because Henry figures he's already so drunk from all the other houses, he's gonna lighten the load. Right, what do we give him? Whatever we're drinking. So I found in my years of watching, it's a great social science experiment, but this is generally what happens. Right, the table, I mean, on a regular, certainly in the Merrill house on a regular Friday night or Shabbos day, right, there's just like the one bottle of wine, you pour off a cup for Kiddush, maybe it stays on the table a little bit more, usually goes back in, and that's it. But I would imagine that even someone who's a little bit more of a serious drinker, which takes very little than me, so I have two bottles on the table, whatever it is. The Seder is like a whole different experience, right? You got a lot of bottles. There's a lot of stuff going on the table, right? And invariably, you open up a bunch of bottles, and there's like that one bottle that like just like it didn't hit it with anybody, right? So that's what you give Eliyahu. Or, better, there's like, you know, just a little bit left in three or four bottles, and you're saying to yourself, ugh, I can't do anything, right? We just poured the fourth kos, so there's no anything anymore, right? So what do? Got a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And when it's all done, that's what Eliyahu drinks. So Eliyahu's drinking like really like the finest of the fine wine, right? But listen to what the Shtei Alechem says. Sharasha Minhag, last two words on the first line. Sharasha Minhag v'ksas Ashkenazim. He found that this was an Ashkenazi Minhag. Laniach b'shulchan kos echad reikon. There was an extra cup that was put on the table, and it was meant for not the people that were at the table. Now, you don't have to drink the whole cup. You just have to drink Rov Kos. So what happens? I drink Rov Kos in my first cup, and I'm like, this one didn't do it for me. Where am I going to pour it? So I have to walk into the kitchen. It's a pain in the neck. No, there was a big cup in the middle of the table. So this is Kos Eliyahu. I pour it in. But everybody else at my table's in the same boat, so they pour it in. Comes the second cup, comes the third cup. By the time you get up to Kos Eliyahu, it's already full of everybody's what? Their dregs and their leftovers. So that's what he says. He says that there's a minhag Ashkenaz that was such. V'shakor l'kozesh, kosh el Eliyahu, and you called it the kos of Eliyahu. V'shahayo lo l'nachav minhag zu, v'nohag u'me'otan ha'shirayim ha'inog l'shto'p betoch ha'su'udah. It's not such a good minog. I'm not minog otam an Ashkenazim shal. Oh, I'm sorry. This is where it is. I'm not minog osan Ashkenazim shal kos rei kamish shir kos sotem sheshochem l'tochel yachso nirali. Right, this minog pashut shetauhu. It's clear to me that it's a mistake. V'choshesheni lahem mechatat, and I think it's a sin to do this. Kizel zilzul kavod lemechubad meilav. This is a mockery, and it's an embarrassment to Eliyahu. So he says it shouldn't be like that. We have four lishonos of geula. You want to bring a fifth cup for Eliyahu? Fine, for Vevesi. He's the mevaser geula achrona. We hope Eliyahu is going to come. Okay, so then what do? You bring a cup for Eliyahu. At least give him his own cup, not everybody's leftovers. All right. That's what the Shtei Alechem says. But it sounds like the main thrust of the Koshel Eliyahu is we're hoping for Geula, one, a possibility of Vevesi, which is also the Geula, and that's the fifth cup. Okay. Sure. Right, so it's funny. I think that Ari Zivotofsky actually, puts that in the beginning of his article. He goes like, is Eliyahu like the Jewish version of Santa Claus? Like, we wait up all night long, we hope he's going to come in, and the kids get super excited, did a little bit of the wine go missing? Yeah, I mean, I think there are some Siddurim where people end up, the Seder is over, it's late, and everybody's tired, so everything sits out until the morning. And in that case, the Koshel Eliyahu is there all night long. So if Eliyahu is running a little bit late because he gets held up at someone else's Seder, so fine. But I think the bigger question is, this is not like an old minhag. Like, this is relatively new. Where is it coming from? And the bigger question is, if from everything that everybody's saying, it seems like the goal is that Mashiach should come. So then why would we call it the Koshel Eliyahu? Why not call it the Koshel Mashiach? So the question then becomes, excellent. So the question is, why do we make it such a big deal that Eliyahu has to be there? So Ari points out what Rav Moshe Chagiz, the Shtei Alechem, says, that there are two things that Eliyahu comes to. We force him to go to every bris, Kisei Shel Eliyahu, and we bring him to every Seder, Kos Shel Eliyahu. So why is that? So take a look at the first source on the second page. Malachim Aleph Perek Yotet. It's one of my favorite prakim in all of Tanakh. It's the Eliyahu saga. So Vayavo Sham Ela Me'ara. Eliyahu comes into a cave, Vayolin Sham, and he sleeps there. V'nei Dvar Hashem Eilav, and God comes to him. Vayomer Lo Malach Apo Eliyahu. He says, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? What's your problem, Eliyahu? Vayomer, Eliyahu says, Kanoki neiti Hashem lokei tzvakos. I was zealous for God. Ki azu britcha b'nei Yisrael mitzvu chotecha rasu v'nevi'echa argu b'charev v'yivateri l'vadi v'yikshu nashi l'kachta. He says, I'm all alone. Nobody believes in you. They've abandoned the Torah. Vayomer tseva manta bahar l'fnei Hashem. So God says, I want you to go out of the cave. And I want you to stand on the mountain. This is Har Sinai he's going to. V'nei Hashem over. And God is going to pass by. V'ruach gedola v'chazak mefarei karim m'shaber slaim. A wind came that was so powerful that it destroyed mountains, shattered rocks. And God says, lo baruach Hashem. God is not in this hurricane. V'achar ruach rash, and after the ruach comes an earthquake, and God says lo barash Hashem, I'm not in the earthquake. V'achar rash eish, and after that a fire, and God says lo ba'esh Hashem, I'm not in the fire. V'achar eish, after the eish called mamad daka, a silent whimper. Vayhi kishmo Eliyahu vayala panav ba'adarato. Eliyahu hides his face in his cloak. Vayetzei vayamo petach mi'arav hinei elav kol vayomer malacha po Eliyahu. God comes back to him and says, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And then he says, vayomer kano kineti l'Hashem lokei tzvakos ki azur b'ritcha v'nei yisrael mitzuchatecha rasu v'niyecha argu b'charev vayivater ni levadi vayivakshu nafshi l'kachta. He says the exact same thing. It's just me. I'm all alone. There's nobody else. What in the world is going on? What a strange thing. Why is God doing all these things? Why can't God just come in the cold mamad daka? Eliyahu says, it's just me. God, there's no one else. Nobody else believes in you. I'm the lone Jew that believes in you. Which is actually not true, because Eliyahu bumps into Ovadia, who brings him to Achav, who's a God-fearing Jew. There were people that believed in God. So what in the world is going on here? Why, what does God need to do this whole thing for? So says the Shtei Alechem, like Ari said, we bring Eliyahu back to the Bris, we bring Eliyahu back to the Seder to remind him that he said nobody believed in God, but it's not true. God needs to show Eliyahu who he was wrong. The Abayr ben El, though, explains this story and says that this story sounds very similar. It was the first Shabbos of our isolation was Parshas Ki Tisa, right? Parshas Ki Tisa, what does Moshe do? Moshe also goes into a cave. And Moshe also has God pass by him. What cave is Moshe going into? It's the same cave. Says the Abayr ben El. You can look at it inside if you want. It's on the last page. This is the very same one that Moshe was in. He's there. He's mit bodeid. He's all by himself. He cries out to God all night long. That's when God comes to him. Lomar. As bi otobo to makom mikudash okay eloki umit bodei the kore bishem lokav bau anevu shelo bai lav kol sam yemim shavru lo beeretz yisrael lo midbar shel yichotob shma. It took him all 40 days to get this nevua. 40 days. And finally he's mit bodei. He's all by himself. He's all lonely. He's limited. He has nothing with him. It's so hard. Eliyahu to me is the second most depressing character in Tanakh. I mean, he's like a distant second, because Yirmiyahu HaNavi, like, he wins. Like, there is nobody more depressing than him. But Eliyahu spends his entire lifetime all by himself. Eliyahu's persona is, it's kano ve'ivater ani levadi. It's just me. There's no one else. Why? Why is it that? Because that's Eliyahu's problem. Eliyahu, for all of his greatness, Eliyahu believes he's all by himself. And so Eliyahu comes back to the Seder, God slaps him across the face and says, look, there are millions of people still keeping the Seder. Vayivater ani levadi. You said it's just you, but it's not. So that's the first answer, the Shtei Alechem. That's why we need the Koshel Eliyahu. It's a reminder that Eliyahu was wrong. And it's a reminder that we're still here. And that's actually, I think, a really big part of the Seder. The notion that we're still alive and kicking. Despite all that history has thrown at us, we're still here. Now I want to share with you Rabbi Penner's idea. Rabbi Penner suggests the following. He says, if you take a look at the middle source, Yudchet Chavtet, Eliyahu is the ultimate showman. Eliyahu is going to do a miracle. It is one of the most unbelievable stories in Tanakh. Eliyahu finds himself on top of Har HaKarmel. It's him against the Nevi'ei HaBaal. It's the ultimate showdown. It's to prove who is the real God. Okay, that's going to be their fight. Eliyahu says to the Nevi'ei HaBaal, you go first. The rules are very simple. You get an animal in the Mizbeach, no fire, you gotta burn it up. The afternoon passes, and it's mincha, and they prophesize the mincha didn't go up, and call they not even kashev. No noise at all. There's no response. Eliyahu says to all the people, Geshu Eli, I want you to come to me, and they all come to him, Vayirapei Mizbeach Hashem Haharus. He rebuilds the Mizbeach of God that had been destroyed. He takes 12 stones. He makes a huge ditch around the Mizbeach that's going to be full of water. He sets up the wood. He cuts up the animal and he puts it on the wood. Vayomer milu arba kadim mayim vayitzku ala ulava laitzim vayomer shenu vayishnu vayomer shaleshu vayishaleshu. He says to the people there, I want you to cover this in water. I mean, like, this is like Houdini at his finest, right? This is the ultimate stage. He's got millions of people that are watching him. And he says to them, I want the animal doused in water so nobody can say to me that it wasn't a miracle. Vayelchu amayim saviv lamizbeach. The water goes around the Mizbeach, v'gamet tatala milei mayim. V'hi balota mincha v'igash Eliyahu anavi, v'yomer Hashem loke Avraham Yitzhak Yisrael, ayom mivadak yatalu kim Yisrael, v'ani avdecha v'drecha, asite kol dver meile. Eliyahu says, now we're going to know that you're really God, and everybody will know this. And he says, aneini Hashem aneini. He says, God, answer me. V'yedu ha'amazek yata Hashem lokim v'ata sibot liba macharonin. God, help me help them. What happens? A fire comes down from God and it eats up the Mizbeach and everything on it, including the water. They fall on their faces and they scream out, God is the one. That's the second answer. Why do we need Eliyahu here? Eliyahu is amazing. Eliyahu is amazing. He does this incredible miracle. Does it work? Does he convince the people? Do they turn around? And the answer is no. Because we have Perek Yud Tet. And we know that Eliyahu runs away. And he says, Kanoki Neiti Hashem Lokei Tzvakos. They're trying to kill me. I'm on the run. I'm in danger of losing my life. Is Kos Shel Eliyahu a Kos of Tfila for Geula? But Penner suggests it's actually something completely different. It's a tefillah for tshuva. Koshel Eliyahu reminds us we have to do tshuva. Why do we have to do tshuva? Because even though Eliyahu did an amazing miracle, and even though Eliyahu did all the things right, the people didn't listen to him. Why don't they listen to him? They don't listen to him because they really were Porei Shel Shtei Asipim. They were climbing on both sides of the fence. Were they really mitzapel Yeshua? Did they really want Mashiach to come? The answer is probably not. Rav Penner is so beautifully said, and there's no way I could do justice to this. He so beautifully says that, you know what, if you really think about it, a month ago, we were in the same boat. If I would have said, Tzipisa Yeshua, do you really hope for Mashiach? What would people have said? If Mashiach comes, you know how annoying it's going to be? I'm going to have to pack up my house. There's so many things to do. And people say, why do I want to even go there? I have all my business here. I have my yeshiva here. I have my shul here. I have my community here. But look how far we've come in this month. We don't need to go to our business. If we're working, we're working from our home virtually. Right? Our shul, it's closed. Our school, our yeshiva, whatever, it's closed. We're learning virtually. Our community, this is our community. Our community lives on a Zoom screen. Says Rabbi Penner, that's the message when we open up the door. We open up the door and God says, Tzipisel Yeshua, do you really want it? Do you want Eliyahu? When we open up the door, It's a sign that we're letting Eliyahu in. We can't wait for Eliyahu. We have to open up the door for him. And we have to say to Eliyahu, Eliyahu, we're ready. We're done. And it's my true hope that on Seder night, when we open up the door, that will be it. That Eliyahu will tell us that this was it. This was the way of getting us to peace of Yeshua. Because our Seder prep and our entire mind, frame of mind going into this Seder is so, so different. I want to share with you just a sense of how different it is. And two of my students are on the screen, so I share this with them. Yesterday we started a Pirkei Avos class as like a bonus in school in the afternoon, and I wondered, like, would people actually show up? So yesterday it was right after a game show, so I figured there's like 80 people in the room, like, okay, so some people will leave, but, like, you know, you get a decent crowd, 50 people stayed. Today it was like a standalone in the middle of the day, it had nothing connected to it, and I was like, all right, like, maybe it'll be a small crowd, who knows. Almost 50 people showed up again today. Now, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, because it has not. I don't think that it has to do with me. I think it has to do with the fact that, what are we supposed to do? We can't go outside. We can't play with our friends. Okay, so I have an opportunity to be with my chevra. Why? It's like a big Brady Bunch screen, right? My square is next to his square, next to his square. That's what our world has become. It's not the same. See, peace of Yeshua. Hopefully, this year, when we open that door, we're opening that door in a very different place. We're not saying to God that, all right, like, this is just another step and whatever, and if it doesn't work, it's fine. We're saying to God, we need it, right? Enough. Please bring the geula. That's what we're saying, and that's, I believe, the second answer. But I want to share...
Recollection, if it's correct, we actually say that after Shulchan Aruch, right?
Yeah, we say it after benching. Sorry, I just, the headset's killing my ears. Yeah, so that's a good question, why we do it then. I think it's because right after that comes Halel HaGadol. And Halel HaGadol is what we're going to say, God willing, when Mashiach comes. So there is a connection where we say Eliyahu comes. Now, Eliyahu is not the one that Eliyahu is not Melech HaMashiach. Eliyahu is the first step. Eliyahu will help us bring Mashiach here. So first we have to say, I'm waiting for Eliyahu. And once I'm ready and waiting for Eliyahu, the next piece is that Mashiach will come. So that's the second answer. I want to share with you a third possibility. Eliyahu was told after the cave where he fails, God says, I want you to do three things. I want you to go and tell Yehu ben Nimshi he's going to be the king. He's a great guy. He's, you know, a psychopath or some, you know, insane man. That's one. He's also supposed to go to Hazael Melech Aram and make him king. And the third thing he's supposed to do is he's supposed to anoint Elisha as his successor. Interestingly, he does not do all three of them in that order. In fact, I'm not even sure he does all three of them. But the first thing he does is Vayelech Misham. He goes from there, Vayimtzat Elisha ben Shaphat. He finds Elisha. V'uchorei shneimasar tzmadim lefanav. V'ubishneimasar. He's plowing 12 sets of cattle. And Elisha is on the very back one. Vayavor Eliyahu ilav v'yishleich adarto ilav. Eliyahu goes, takes his aderet, takes his cloak, and he throws it on him. So he leaves his animals right there, leaves the cattle in the field, and he runs after Eliyahu. He says, wait a second, let me go kiss my parents goodbye, and then I'll go after you. So he says to him, go, don't come with me. Like, what have I done to you? He takes the tzemed bakar, a pair of cattle, and he brings it as a korban, and in the kalim of the animal, he cooks it. Vayiten lam vayochelu, he gives it to eat. Vayakom vayilech achrei Eliyahu vayishartehu. He comes and he goes with Eliyahu and he makes and he serves him. Elisha will be the ultimate servant, and he'll stay with Eliyahu until the very end when Eliyahu goes up to heaven. Radak says on the last page, "V'hu choresh mitzao shayach choresh hu im avadav shayu choreshim im bakar." I thought it was interesting. It's just a minor word, but im avadav. Elisha is wildly wealthy. To have 24 oxen going out to plow the field means that he is incredibly wealthy. And yet, he's out there in the field doing the work himself. Why is that? Elisha's Rav Soloveitchik points out that Elisha is a people, person of the people, whereas Eliyahu is not. And generally, we say that's Eliyahu's undoing. Eliyahu's undoing is that he is so by himself and so isolated and so lonely that he just doesn't get people. But I want to share and I want to suggest on my own, and with this we'll conclude our third possible answer. I want to suggest that perhaps Eliyahu shows Elisha that to be successful, you need to step away from where you're living. You can't be part of your Tzemed Bakar. You can't be part of the community the way you are. You need to step away from your material life a little bit. And so what he does is he takes his aderet, he takes his cloak and he throws it on him. I think, to me, what the last few weeks have shown is so much of that. We've stepped away a lot from our material possessions. I wish I had the email in front of me, but a teacher offered this as, you know, how are they doing? And they said that they could share it. And they said, my few weeks have been like, I haven't gotten a haircut, I haven't gotten a manicure, I haven't gotten, you know, my skin taken care of, all of those things. So that's what it is. So the person then ended off by saying, my house is clean, but I'm probably going to be insane, and that might be what will take me out. But I think the person said it tongue in cheek, because I know the person well. I think the truth is that is what the last couple of weeks have done for us. We're not living in the same world, and we're not thinking materially the same way we are. Our Pesach plans have been scaled down. Our Pesach prep has been scaled down. We have a chance for once to think more about the Kedusha of Pesach than we do of all the other things. Because I brought in Santa before, I might as well, you know, bring it in now. But if this was Christmas time, finally, that sign that a few people, not many, have on their lawn, right? You know, keep Christ in Christmas or whatever, put the, you know, that, whatever. I think that's a big piece of it, right? The world has to go back and say, we recognize that we got to make this a little bit more spiritual and a little bit less material. That, I think, is why Eliyahu's place is the Me'arah. And the Me'arah where he's bit didut, he's all by himself, is where Eliyahu is most comfortable. But he says to Elisha, you got to do a little bit of that also. It's true, Elisha, you're going to be better than me because you're a person of the people. But at the end of the day, you have to also recognize you got to pull away. At the Seder, we're done with the meal. We're at the very end. For some people, that's a part of the Seder where they're like, check, please. I'm done. Hallel. But that is what it's all about. We're praising God and saying, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. I recognize that it's not just about the fancy meal. And it's not about the dishes and all the other stuff. But it's about my spiritual relationship with God. I'll really end with this. On Monday night, I had the privilege of hearing Charlie Harari speak to the Hank family. And this is what he said. He said, the last time there was a Pesach, the last time we had a Pesach where we were locked in our homes and we couldn't have anybody else in there. The last time was the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We opened the door at around Chatzos Halayla because we're hoping to welcome the Geula Shleima. Hopefully this year, when we open that door, God will see that our lives have become a little bit less elaborate, like the lesson that Eliyahu gives to Elisha. And hopefully we'll take all these lessons of Eliyahu, the lessons of that being a showman is good, but it only matters if the people really want to see God. The notion that we have to believe in ourselves and believe in people, and the notion that we have to take a step back from the physicality of the world and hopefully spend a little bit more time in the spirituality of the world. Hopefully we can take all these lessons to heart and please God. I hope that each and every one of us, in good health, when we open up that door at Chatzos HaLaila before we say Hallel, my hope is that Eliyahu is waiting. And Eliyahu comes into our Seder and we say to Eliyahu, Eliyahu, I've been waiting for you for all these years. V'heshev levavos albanim v'levbanim alavosam our Haftorah from this week, this coming Shabbos. You brought our hearts back and you brought the hearts of our children back. Eliyahu, let's sing Hallel HaGadol together. And let's sing Hallel HaGadol because we're this close. You're here, we're here. Let's bring Mashiach. God willing, it should come b'karo b'yameinu.